on the line, I have Michael Mulcahy. Good evening, Michael.
Hi, Shane. How are you doing?
I'm good. I mentioned a little bit about what you'll be talking about, but I kept it nice and vague for people. So,
yeah.
Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah. My name is Mike Mulcahy, and I run a clinic called Mind Bodied from the Glenmire Therapy Clinic in Glenmire. And so the work I do is combining advanced wellness technology with kinesiology. And the sort of the areas I support people mainly is with sleep, stress, and anxiety. And that's both kids and adults. And that's through what's called neurofeedback brain training.
Okay. And I suppose what I was interested was, you were telling me before, like, you suffered for over 30 years with anxiety, and, you know, you went through an interesting journey to get to where you are, to what actually helped you. Do you want to share a little bit about that with people?
Yeah. So, as I said, I suffered from social anxiety for nearly 30 years, and it started to affect me when I was about 12 or 13. And it was whenever I get anxious, I get panicky and I start sweating. So it was quite a physical anxiety. And, you know, you're that age to know what's going on. This is back in the early 90s, so never said anything to anybody, didn't know what to do. So I didn't say anything about it. So I suppose I was 21 before I actually spoke to somebody about it. Should see a counselor, and that helped a bit. But times then just got worse and worse. So even just having a conversation with somebody, I couldn't deal with that. Because I get all panicky, start sweating, the anxiety kicking in, all the negative self-talk.
Yeah.
And I'd stop socializing. Things at work were quite difficult because they were just hiding everything, so I'm making excuses not to go places. And that continued. Like, over the years, I tried counseling, psychotherapy, CBT therapy, hypnotherapy. And they worked for a while for me, but I wasn't getting long-lasting results. So, I lived in a few different countries as well, and each time I moved a country, it kind of gave me that kind of bit of a relief, and people don't know me and don't know what's going on for me. And then, I suppose, in 2008 came to a head where I just quit my job and headed off to India. So desperate to find something, so completely changed things. And I went to an ashram. There's a guy called Osho, so he had a lot of different meditations, but they were kind of active meditations. But it was like a lot of, extreme kind of self-development work. So like, there's a lot of breaking down your Western conditioning. And the negative thoughts about yourself and things like that. So a lot of courses like that during, like, I was in India for about 7 or 8 months, doing different courses like that. And that's probably one of the main ones that made a big change for me. It was called something called Mystic Rose. And that's where it's a 3-week course. For the first week, for 3 hours a day, you were laughing for 3 hours. The second week then, for 3 hours a day, you were crying. And then for the third week, you're sitting in silence.
Right. Like,
the laughing was about starting to remove layers so you can go deeper into emotions in the second week. And like, you'd have every nationality there from early 20s up to 60, 70-year-old people. So it's a wide variety of people there.
Yeah.
And like, when you're into the second week then...
you have to force yourself to cry.
Yeah, you're supposed to force your 3 hours a day trying to force yourself to cry.
Wow.
For 7 days, after 7 days. And, you know, for only, like, people might only cry for 1 or 2 days, but on the second day, there was a trigger for me. I was just lying on the ground, forcing myself to cry, and there's a lady next to me, and I just looked her in the eye for, like, 5 seconds, and that just triggered something in me. Because, like, it's all about insecurities. I could never look people in the eye. Because, like, you're exposing yourself. But that triggered something for me, and I went into deep emotional pain, what I was bringing up for me. So went through that process, like, and I felt that I was crying for, like, 20 minutes. So it was fairly painful. Then I felt that standing up to let people see me, and that was even worse again.
Yeah.
And then the next thing was that I just felt I had to open my eyes and let people look into me and see who I am, like, here I am. And that was the most painful experience I've ever gone through in my life.
Right.
But after that, then I just felt like amazing after it. And then after lunch, then I was chatting with somebody. And when the conversation was over, I just realized I spent the whole time looking in their eye.
Wow. You'd never done that before?
Yeah, never done that before.
Wow.
And that was through the emotional pain I went through in that 3 hours. So then came back to Ireland, and then again in 2012, and back to India again to do the course again and to kind of work on more stuff. I've done a lot of kind of extreme stuff like that over the years. And when I was back there in 2012, then I was sharing a room with a German guy who was living in South India. And then in 2015, I went back to visit him for a holiday. And
right.
That's where I came across your feedback.
Right. And that changed your life path completely.
Oh, it was transformational.
Right.
Like, at the time, I didn't know it was going to transform my life.
Right.
But, like, you know, looking back now, and I've had conversations with him, just showing gratitude for him, that what happened in that holiday was transformational. So, like, I was there for 11 days, and I was doing their feedback session every day. And then when I came back to Ireland, then that's when I saw the changes in me. And
right.
Like, I was in an office job back then, and, you know, in meetings, I'd always stay at the back, and I'd always keep quiet. Because if there's ever a tension on me, I get embarrassed, get red face, start sweating. And I was starting to put myself forward, voicing my opinion. I still getting embarrassed and stuff about it, but I was actually doing it, you know? And that was a big change. And, like, one of the things I always tell people, I had to buy a kettle. Something simple like that, but, like, quite stressful for me, because I had to go into a shop, be in a queue, and I couldn't deal with queues. Like, before, I just walk around the shop until the
queue was gone.
For the till. Yeah, yeah. And when I was leaving the shop, I just realized it's been 20 minutes in the shop, wearing all the kettles. Went up and paid for them, walked out. And, like, before, big 20 seconds in and out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't have the negative self-talk. I didn't have to think what people would be thinking about me.
Right.
Why is he spending so long there, picking out a kettle, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that was a major thing for me. So then there's a guy up in Offaly who was doing the neurofeedback, and I was traveling up and down there for a while. And then I bought my own system then from that. And it just developed from there then.
And you integrated this. I mentioned earlier that you're a kinesiologist, but you've integrated this technology into your practice, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. So I'm a kinesiologist originally, and then I bought in the neurofeedback. So I was combining those as part of a program for people as well. So, like, I suppose with kinesiology, you're working on identifying what's going on in the person's body physically.
Right.
Through what's called muscle testing. Whereas with the neurofeedback, what it's actually doing is helping to regulate the brain and nervous system.
Right.
I come back to my own situation, anxiety. It was a lot of insecurities for me. And I was, over the years, realized was connected with my mother passing away when I was 2.5.
Right.
And so I had insecurities in that then later in life triggered anxiety for me. So
it was hard to break out of that cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the more I was replaying the anxiety in my mind, the more I was hardwiring that response to my body. And, like, we don't know these things at a time, like, but we're hardwiring whatever. So, like, the first time I experienced anxiety was, like, to keep me safe. But when I kept replaying it over and over, I was hardwiring that response in my body and my brain. And I was always triggered back to what was my worst experience of anxiety. I was about 15, 16. So when I started the neurofeedback, what I was doing is actually breaking up these hardwired patterns in our brain.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, physical, mental, emotional traumas we experience, whether it's panic attacks or overwhelm or stress, when we keep replaying these in our mind, our brain does distinguish what's reality and what are our thoughts. It still creates the same reaction in our body.
Yeah.
So, like, during a neurofeedback session, there's some sensors sensors connected to the scalp and to the ears, and they're picking up the electrical activity of the brain. And that's then fed back to the technology in the computer.
Okay.
And that's analyzing the brain activity for what's called turbulence. So when the system detects turbulence in brain activity, it gives information back to the brain through music that you're listening to. So people are listening to calm, relaxing music. And when it detects turbulence, then there'll be a pause or crackle in the audio of the music. And that's like a signal to the brain to come back to the present moment. And that's happening multiple times then during the session. And that's helping the brain to regulate itself better.
And you invited me to your practice last week, and I had it done to me so that I had an idea what you were talking about when you were explaining it on the radio. And I must say, you know, I found it very relaxing. It was a bit, you know, something to get used to when you hear the static sound every now and then. But I must admit, I found it as an extremely relaxing feeling. And one of the things you were mentioning to me was that, you know, you don't have to be thinking about anything specific while you're sitting there. You don't have to go in there with a thought to change or anything, that you can just sit there. And you were also mentioning that people, you know, especially children and stuff, that you can kind of do things. You could be on your phone, or you could be watching a movie or something, as long as the sound isn't up. So I suppose, you know, it defines what anything else that I would have been told, like that you don't have to concentrate on a problem. It just actually hopefully fixes what's going on in your brain, you know?
Yeah. Cause like there's nothing to do before a session. There's nothing to do during a session. Mm. Nothing to do after a session. Like I suppose one of the questions people regularly ask, like, do you have to be thinking of anxiety or be an anxiety moment to trigger a response? But the way I explain it to people, it's like if you're training for a sport and whatever the game, main game, they like pick hurling or football, and the match, you train for the match so that you play well during, so you got training sessions so you play well during the match. So it's like with the brain training, you're regulating the brain in the current state it has been.
Yeah.
And when you're helping to regulate the brain to function better, like our brain always wants to go back to its optimal functioning, but from whatever physical, mental, emotional traumas in our life, it knocks it out of regulation. So even though you're just sitting down, you're not doing anything, it's still regulating the brain to function better.
Okay.
And to regulate itself better, so that when you do go into situations that trigger the anxiety, trigger the stress response, panic attacks, your brain is able to deal better with it.
Okay.
So that you don't get overwhelmed with what's going on.
And you have success with this in more than just anxiety?
Yeah. Like, as I say, sleep, like an example of a lady in her mid-20s, she'd not slept properly for 12 years, chronic sleep issue.
Wow.
So, like, she's constantly tired, constant headaches, always overthinking things. And one of the big things for her, she felt she could never get a job in the state she was in. And about 12 sessions later then, she's actually in a full-time job now.
Right.
So it's been a complete life change for her. Like, and she's sleeping well 6 or 7 nights a week. Her headaches are gone. She has loads of energy now. She feels a lot more calmer and clearer mind. Like another lady, she's in her 60s, and she low self-confidence, a lot of stress from the work and sleep issues and anxiety, and she'll be in and out of depression a bit as well.
Okay.
And, like, she's a complete life change now. Like, she feels now she's got her power back. She's back to where she was about 30 years ago. She feels more emotionally resilient. She's sleeping better, and her anxiety is pretty much gone. And, like, she's had a lot, the way she says, she's got more joy and happiness now in life.
Wow.
And step back from things. Doesn't have to take on the world on her shoulders, like.
Right.
So, like, because, like, you're regulating the brain.
Yeah.
Limited to anything. So, like, once your brain is functioning better, it's going to help everything in your life.
Right.
You just find yourself going through, flow through the day much easier.
And you were mentioning as well that you're one of the few people in Ireland is actually doing this.
Yeah, like, it, neurofeedback is very, oh, sorry, it's not well known in Ireland. Like, a person in Munster doing it, like, there's a place up in Dublin, or right, just doing it as well. but as far as I'm aware, I'm the only one in Munster doing it.
Right.
And shortly be opening a clinic in Dublin over a few weeks as well.
Okay.
And I have systems in as well that I rent out to families as well.
Okay.
And actually do the training at home.
Okay. Okay. So they can actually use the system at home for themselves.
Yeah. Like, it's very simple and easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
Give people full training, and like, I regularly check in with people in every week as well, or every second week, just to make sure everything's going well for them.
Okay.
So people can use it at home as well.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a very interesting thing to do, and it's as you said, like, you know, one of the things I didn't even think of as a psychotherapist was that if you have a client who struggles with just talking face to face with you, you know, how do you rectify that? And something along the lines of what you're suggesting is a good alternative, you know, to step away from that. And you know, it sounds like you're getting an awful lot of positive, I suppose everyone that has used it so far has changed some aspect of their life.
Yeah. And like, for clients who are doing talk therapy, when they start to the brain, the neurofeedback training, it's actually allowing them to go deeper in their talk therapy, because it's helping to clear those mental or emotional blocks that they had.
Yeah.
So it's very complementary to anything else people are doing.
Okay. So it's kind of just an extra add-on, but it can also work quite well on its own as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, it works good.
Depending on, like, I mean, that lady with sleep problem, she only really needed the machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and her life's changed now. Like, she doesn't feel like she can't have a job, so working full-time now within 2 and a half months.
Yeah. Wow, fantastic. So, Michael, if somebody wants to get in contact with you, how would they get in contact with you?
Yeah, number is 089-237-6673.
Okay.
And the website is mindbodies.com.
Okay, absolutely fantastic. Great talking to you, Michael. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to learning more about this fantastic technology, and hopefully it does very, very well for you in the future.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much. Bye now.